And join me in our invocation. Almighty God, wonderful Creator, you have made yourself known in your Son, Jesus. In his birth, you have restored the dignity of human nature. In his death and resurrection, you have revealed to us the fullness of your grace and mercy. In your love and by the power of the Holy Spirit, let us share in his divine life, even as he partook of our humanity. As we hear and reflect on your word this day, help us to respond with believing hearts and to put our faith into practice. We ask this in his name. Amen. We have not actually had an announcement time this morning, so I do want to announce that we will have something we have not had in the past, at least not in my understanding or my time here, a New Year's Eve service. It will begin at 11:30, and we will have communion to bring in the new year. It'll be along the lines of a old Wesley watch night service and combined with the covenant renewal service, beginning here in the sanctuary at 11:30. And it will last a little over a half hour. I hope that you can work that into your New Year's celebration. As for our concerns, we ask that you pray for Jim Everett recovering from surgery, Granger Smith recovering from surgery, and who was here last night. I don't have my glasses on. I'm not sure if Granger's here today or not. Now, I've conspicuously called to your attention his absence. Lewis Sheridan was here last night and has had some health concerns. Joyce Bartless. Reverend Patty Griffith Falal, as she continues her treatments. Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, Beth Gray, Bette McCord Bly. We need to have her and her family in our prayers as well. We have other concerns that only we and God are aware of. We lift them up together as we pray. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come as your children, hoping against hope on Christmas Day to meet you anew in song and light, and the glance or the welcome of a friend, in the visits of family, in the hearing of your word, in these holy moments set apart, in which we celebrate your grace, your gift of yourself, your Son, Jesus Christ. Come touch us this Christmas Day in the dark places that remain in our souls, and give us light and hope and healing. Lord, we confuse ourselves through the worship year, thinking sometimes of a baby, sometimes of a man on a cross, and sometimes of clouds and stars and black void filled by your power and word. Help us know that you are all and all. You are here now with us, and there then before all creation, and will be in the end. The one who prepared to embrace us when time was over. Help us not get bogged down in the concerns of the moment. The crisis on the news are the things over which we have no control. Instead, Lord, open our eyes to each other, to family and to friends and to loved ones we take for granted, and to the needs of our neighborhood and the resources of time and talent that we have to share and to echo your hope to others around us. Lord, give us a vision of your church and your kingdom where we are a small outpost of hope. We accept your gift of your Son, Jesus. Help us echo that gift to everyone in need. And Lord, we all do need your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your eternal hope. Fill us with the spiritual blessings of the day, of hope and joy, so that we will have enough to share. And now, Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Help us be merciful. We do pray for the world and what we have made of it. We do pray for peace. We pray for light and humility to be a small light of Christ to those around us. And Father, we thank you for the comfort of your Son's message that we are not alone, that you have come, that you are here. And you came not for judgment, but to give hope and life eternal. Lord, we thank you for the hope of Christmas. And we pray now the prayers of our hearts, those things that lay heavy as a burden upon us, our prayers for one another, our prayers of thanksgiving, our prayers of confession, our prayers of joy, our prayers of comfort. Hear now the prayers of our hearts as we lift them in silence before you. Lord, hear our prayers, for we do pray in the name of your Son, the Babe of Bethlehem. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I will ask Kelly Mullenix to come forward now for the children's time, and I'll ask the children to come forward as well, or it won't work out.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Well, I am so glad to see you this morning. What an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord together and worship together. And I want to talk to you a little bit about some things that we've done over the past few weeks here at Main Street. Last week, we had what we call the live nativity, which means all the children dressed up in different characters from the nativity, and they came down the front to what was sitting up here right in the middle. Who remembers what was sitting up here? Alexis, you remember? What? The baby Jesus, right? We had a baby Jesus sitting right here in a manger, and we all came down dressed as angels and shepherds and wise men. Now, this morning, how many of you got presents? Oh, I'm so glad. Some of you didn't raise your hand. That makes me nervous. Okay. You all got presents, and some of you even gave presents, right? Who in the manger story gave presents to the baby Jesus? Raise your hand, please. Thank you, Skylar. The wise men gave presents to the baby Jesus. Jay, do you remember which presents they brought? Frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Excellent. Thank you. They brought gifts. What did the shepherds bring? Josie? The shepherds brought sheep, but they were just kind of with them, right? They didn't actually give them to the baby Jesus. Did the shepherds give anything to baby Jesus? No, they didn't. You know what they actually gave? Themselves. The shepherds gave themselves to the baby Jesus. Now, we've talked about this a lot over the past few weeks here at Main Street about what can we give to church and to God. And the best gift that we can offer is the gift of ourselves and our presence, our gifts that Jesus has given us. So, for example, let's see, many of you sing in the choir. That's a gift that you give to your church. Some of you acolyte and crucifer. That's another gift that you can give. Anything that you can give to the church is a wonderful gift appreciated by God. Now, I want you to remember that. I'm going to give you something to help you remember the shepherds. So you don't feel like you always have to give an actual gift, but you can give yourselves. I know you're going to see this and think it's a candy cane. But if you look real closely, what does it look like? It looks like a shepherd's staff. So when you take this candy cane home, you might eat it, but otherwise I'd like for it to remind you about the shepherds and what they gave. But first, we're going to have a prayer. Let's all bow our heads, please. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful day and for this time together with these children. Lord, we hope that they remember as they celebrate this day that no matter what they have they can always give themselves to the baby Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.
Now, before we pass the peace, I wanted to just, we're a little bit more informal today. I wondered, did anybody come, as I said you could come, in bedroom slippers? Did anybody come in bedroom slippers today? Nobody? Do we have some folks who are here from way, we do have one? No, from way out of town. Do we have some people from way out of town? Okay, good. We are going to pass the peace, and that is an event where we say, oh, it's not to welcome and it's not to greet each other, but to pass and, if necessary, to make peace so that we may worship properly. But today, on Christmas Day, we'll take an extra 30 seconds to actually greet each other and say hello, because some folks are here that we don't see very more often than once a year. So let us greet each other and let us pass the peace. Amen. Now let us continue our worship as we worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, you have given us all. You have given us life. You have given us families. You have given us friends. You have given us a church. You have given us a Savior. You have given us resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We cannot outgive you. But the portion which we return, we pray that you bless. Bless as a tithe to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John. I'll be reading from the first chapter, verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to what was His own, and His own people did not accept Him. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and lived among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto You, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, I do need to ask before I ask my first question, how many people do we have from other churches? We have a few. Now, I need to tell you, we have a tradition here at Main Street you need to take home, and your preacher will appreciate it. And that is, I always give you the option in this congregation of the long version or the short version. I need to take that back to your congregation. Which would you prefer today? The long version or the short version? Okay, all right. I thought so. Tell your preacher you got that from me when you go to your other church. I found a quote too good not to share with you this morning. It has nothing to do with my sermon, but it is just wonderful. Why is getting Christmas presents for your kid just like a day at the office? Why is getting Christmas presents for your kid just like a day at the office? The answer is, you do all the work, and the fat guy in the suit gets all the credit. I like that. Okay. Now to the sermon. A little more serious note. Christmas has made the news more this year than any year I can remember because some say forces are trying to erase Christmas from public celebration. But as a student of American religious history, just for the record, in 1659 all the way up to 1681 in this country, before it was a country, did you know? The Puritans made it illegal to observe Christmas at all. And that whole debate about public celebration, personally, in my opinion, I do not care if people who do not mean it say Merry Christmas to me or not. But I care a great deal whether those who say they believe show they believe in their lives, in their actions, in their priorities, in their attitudes. I do care that you who have taken vows of faith and proclaimed your hope in Christ know what it is to have a Savior born unto us, the Word made flesh. And if that doesn't make you happy, then you haven't understood a word that has ever been said from this pulpit. Proper celebration happens right here in church in worship between God's children, and it is unto God. Christmas, Alexander Smith says, Christmas is the day that holds time together. For people of the Christian faith, it is the day that holds time together, the day when God has acted and come into our world. And also in our lives, as the years go by, I count my life by Christmases. Not by New Year's, but by Christmases. Not by April 15th when I pay my taxes, although that's a big day, but by Christmases. I count it by who was there that Christmas, and where we celebrated, and who was missing that year, and how things have changed. Christmas is also a huge family day. Some of my very first memories of my earliest childhood were of Christmas in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I encourage family togetherness, but sometimes even family togetherness can go too far. For example, once a church put on a children's Christmas play, and a young boy had only one line. You know that boy who always has just one line and blows it. Well, he had one line. And he got in front of the people, and his line was, I am the light of the world. But on the night that he was to perform, in front of all the people, he froze. He froze, and his mother was in the front row, and his mother was trying to mouth the line to him, and he thought he was following her mouth, and he thought that he had it, and he said, oh, okay, my mother is the light of the world. Your family can go too far. No, not even the best mothers are the light of the world. We all, even mothers, need a Savior. And thank God we have one in Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem that we celebrate today with these carols and with prayers and scripture and gifts. And it is appropriate to give gifts. And I do hear your gifts calling you back home. You hear them, don't you? I hear your gifts calling you back home. Some of you are wearing your gifts. They made it here today to church. It's appropriate to give gifts to celebrate the birth of a Savior. But the act of shopping and the hassles of ordering and the mix-ups, I ordered some things online and it came the wrong size. And the waiting in line and the sales that run out just before you get there, it can put you in a foul mood. It really can. A woman was waiting in the checkout line at Walmart about December 21st. And her arms were heavy with a mop and broom and a pail and cleaning supplies. I guess she was getting ready for company. And by her grimace and by her deep sighs, you could tell she was in a hurry. And she was not happy. And when the cashier, a young guy, called for a price check on one of her items, the lady remarked indignantly, I'll be lucky to get home before Christmas. Well, cashier said, don't worry, ma'am. With the wind kicking up out there and that brand new broom, you'll be home in no time. Some of you hadn't thought about it. You hadn't got that yet. Well, superficial cleaning up and decorating and shopping, that won't give you a celebration heart. It won't give you a heart of joy. A superficial understanding of Jesus as a baby way back long time ago, far separated from the here and now, that's an empty gift. That's not enough. That understanding on the surface only, it gives no comfort, no peace, it makes really no difference. We are looking for something more, something personal. And we have that. God became flesh and dwelt among us. We can't be more personal. An old professor of mine says that most of us have just enough Christianity to inoculate us against the real thing. We don't get the depth, he said, of what God has offered in Jesus Christ. That depth begins with the need each of us has for a Savior. The need for a Savior is the reason. Knowing that we have one, it's the reason now to celebrate. We have a Savior. We can breathe easy. We can breathe deeply. We can sing out these old songs with renewed joy and with easy spirit because we know that our needs are met. That sin and death and guilt have no hold on us. Will Willimon wrote, "When one begins with the assumption that real only refers to that which can be touched and teased, reality shrinks and our expectations for what can and cannot be get scaled down considerably. God is real and God really came in Jesus Christ. We sing and rejoice in Emmanuel, God with us, God become a person. So that each of us might become a child of the Father. This is the glad tiding of great joy to all people." Christmas says, this is real. More real than doubts, more real than despair, more real than old wounds, than bad news, than grief, than sin, than death itself. There is something so profound in the Creator coming in weakness and poverty and innocence that, and then largely being ignored and rejected. What it says about us, and what it says is profound. That God gave Himself to us completely, body and soul, to make a way for us to understand the depth of His love. And our rejection and the cross itself shows the depth of our need for a Savior. It speaks of God and it speaks of our need. One year, when Christmas Day came on a Sunday, as today, a farmer decided to go to church. Like some people, he only came to church a few times a year, Christmas and Easter. I read a sermon translated from the growing Christian church in Russia, and he said they call some of their members four-wheel Christians. And an American missionary said, "You know, what do you mean four-wheel Christians?" He said, "They come when they are baptized, they come Easter, they come Christmas, and they come for their own funeral. Four-wheel Christians." That's tough. But this man usually came about twice a year. He was a farmer, and he came on Christmas Day. And the sermon that was preached that day, interestingly, was from Isaiah, who does speak of the coming of the Messiah. And it is in the King James, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know me. My people doth not consider me." Isaiah was saying that man is dumber than animals. Now, after church, the farmer returned home and he stood among his cows, and one of the cows began to lick his hand. It was a practical demonstration of the sermon he had just heard. The strong man though he was, the farmer began to weep as he thought, "God did so much more for me, and yet I have never thanked Him. My cow is more grateful than I am. My cow is more grateful to me than I am to God." Love is what we are thankful for today. Love for the unlovable. Love and forgiveness for sinners, and that is us. Hope and grace for those who have tried and failed, and that is us. Comfort for those who think they are alone in all of our lives at some point, that is us. This is Christmas, the gift that covers and redeems all that assails us. The gift is love in person at great cost to God. Christ is still present in the world. And God's Holy Spirit is in each of His children. And when we follow the urgings of the Spirit, we reveal Christ's love in the world. But it'll cost us too. It'll cost us involvement. And I'm going to end with a story I'm sure that some of you have heard before, but it's a story about the payoff for getting involved. Miss Thompson taught Teddy Stallard in the fourth grade. He was slow and an unkempt student, and he was a loner shunned by his classmates. The previous year, his mother had died, and what little motivation he had for school was now gone. Miss Thompson didn't particularly like Teddy either, but at Christmas he brought her a small present. Now, her desk was covered in beautifully wrapped little presents, but Teddy's gift came just in a plain brown sack. When she opened it, in it was a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with a few rhinestones missing and a little half-empty bottle of cheap perfume. The children began to snicker. They knew that wasn't a good gift, but Miss Thompson saw the importance of the moment, and she quickly splashed on some of that perfume, and she put on the bracelet, acting as if Teddy had given her something very, very special. At the end of the day, Teddy worked up enough courage to softly ask, "Miss Thompson, do you know you smell like my mother? And her bracelet, it looks real pretty on you too. I'm glad that you like my presence." After Teddy left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees and she prayed for God's forgiveness. She prayed for God to use her as she sought to love these children as well as teach them. And she became, after that, a new teacher. She lovingly helped students like Teddy, and by the end of the year, he had caught up with the rest of the students. Miss Thompson didn't hear from Teddy for a long time, and then she received this note. It said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know. I will be graduating second in my high school class. Love, Teddy Stallard." 4 years later, she got another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has been tough, but I liked it. Teddy Stallard." 4 years after that, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, and I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stallard." Miss Thompson went to the wedding, and she sat where Teddy's mother would have sat simply because in a moment of decision, she decided to let God use her as an instrument of encouragement. She herself became a gift that multiplied through the years. Marcus Borg wrote, "God is real. The Christian life is about entering into a relationship with God as known in Jesus Christ. That relationship can and will change your life. It can and will change the lives of others also as we share our faith." God's peace. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. God's peace to your journey. God's joy the rest of this Christmas day, kids and adults. You may go play with your presents. Take time away from your gifts, though, to notice each other, to spend time with one another, to notice others and God's love. We must share and we must show our faith. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to each one of you. God's gift has been given to us. What we do for others is our gift to God. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
I echo the blessing we have just heard, that Christ was born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. And we with the angels sing, glory to the newborn King, our hope in life and life eternal. In Christ's name, you have been blessed. Be a blessing. Amen.